This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Not too long ago, we showed a little YouTube clip during a sermon, and I overheard someone saying, well, I don't know why they do that. I could go home and watch that. While that may be true, there is a difference when we come together and share an experience together, like a YouTube clip or a movie clip. There is a difference. And so, yes, I'm going to show you a YouTube clip.
I've been homeless about 6 or 7 years, yeah, off and on. Yeah, I sleep under the stars every night, pretty much, unless it's raining. There's a return to innocence we can see in watching this man and those who helped him. A natural forgiveness emerges through the beauty of his music and his raw talent. No matter what this man ever did in his life, redemption was found when others saw him as part of the human family, as Christ. And transformation happened. Also, the fact that the city of Arizona even put out these pianos to begin with was pretty amazing. And my sister tells me that it's happening all over the world. So if you see a piano, feel free to go up and play it. Apparently,
I believe this has become a metaphor for all of the opportunity of goodness all around us to do the will of God. Certainly, certainly that was the will of God. That which is just and true and good, loving and sacred and out of the ordinary, in the ordinary. Doing the will of God is what our readings are about today. We certainly heard it in the first reading, and we hear it in the gospel of Jesus. This is the good news. We've been given free will to rely on that good will of God. Jesus was not out of his mind, not filled with demonic spirits. Rather, Jesus had the mind of God. He was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they just didn't recognize it. Jesus invites all of us to be of the same mind and the same spirit in a new family, following the will of God as sisters and brothers. So we are in the Gospel of Mark for this whole year, year B as we call it, and we are in chapter 3 today, beginning in verse 20, and we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark from now until the end of November. And the Gospel of Mark, as I'm sure you recall from your Bible study, is it's this immediate gospel. There's one thing right after the other. No time to waste. Well, I'd like to read you a recap of what's happened in the life of Jesus to this point in the Gospel of Mark. Just three short chapters, not even three. So hold on. Jesus was baptized by John, tempted by the devil, saw John arrested, proclaimed kingdom of God has come near, taught to repent and believe in good news, called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, taught in the synagogue, amazed the people, healed the man with the unclean spirit, cured Simon's mother-in-law, casted out demons, healed the sick, took time apart to pray before dawn, taught radical stuff about Jewish law, became known all over, healed on the Sabbath, was angered and grieved over hardened hearts because of that, climbed a mountain, called the rest of his disciples, knowing he would need help, and finally, with his crew of 12, he went home. He was probably exhausted. I was exhausted just reading. He went home is the little verse that comes in verse 19, just before today's gospel. So they're home, probably relaxing, having some dinner, maybe a glass of wine, brainstorming their new ministry plan. But no, the crowd had become so big, the text tells us there was little time even to eat, probably not sleep either. He was a superstar, but not everybody loved him, as we know. So people began to say that he was out of his mind. Interestingly, this same word in Greek means to be amazed, astonished, to throw into wonderment, to be beside oneself. So we say that today, right? He's beside himself. Jesus was not out of his mind. What they probably were referring to was the fact that he had this lack of caution in the face of danger from those who wanted to get rid of him for disturbing the status quo. Understandable. The scribes and legal authorities were calling him Beelzebul, another name for the devil. They were saying he was a demon, casting out demons. And to that, he got really upset. And he said, that makes no sense. How could Satan cast out Satan? How could the demon cast out his own demon? Makes no sense at all. How can something be evil if it produces healing and love? So it's really no wonder then that his mom and his brothers and his sisters all came to try to help, to try to restrain him so that the authorities wouldn't do what we know they ended up doing. The thing is, though, what Jesus shows us is that to really follow the will of God takes radical action, going against the grain. He's showing us this again and again and again, and teaching us that it takes us seeing one another as sister and brother, so easily missed sometimes. Who do we dismiss in our lives as unimportant or a threat? If that man in the video had been on the side of the street just begging for money, I probably would have walked by him, maybe said hello. His life would have been very
very different. And certainly, when we speak of this family of Christ doing the will of God, we're not just talking about our little tiny piece of creation as humanity. We're talking about all of creation, including the earth. Because if the earth dies, we die. We're all in this together, experiencing this together, if you will, like a video clip. I have another example of doing God's will in this world. Diana Butler Bass, who is a great author, tweeted just this week something that happened on Monday, and the title of it was, "Something Happened in Washington That You Won't Hear About in the News." These are her tweets. "It is beautiful here this morning. I decided to go for a walk along the river. As I parked, I looked out on the water, and it was sparkling in the sunshine. I ran up to the riverbank and gave thanks for the day. And then I realized that the river sparkled because it was full of plastic water bottles, hundreds, maybe thousands of them bobbing in the current. It was so depressing. I wondered, how often does something seem beautiful at first glance only to turn out being garbage floating in the river? It seemed a sorry metaphor for life. I walked on meditating on this, and then just ahead I saw a person kneeling near the pedestrian bridge at the edge of a small muddy inlet. I almost walked by her without stopping, but I noticed that she was picking something up out of the water. I wondered if she'd found a turtle, so I stopped, looked, and asked, 'What are you doing?' She glanced up. Her fingers were muddy. In her hand was a straw. Next to her was a bag full of tiny plastic shards, straws, and bottle caps. 'Oh,' I said, 'you are picking up trash.' 'Someone has to do it,' she replied. 'Every little bit helps. And sometimes we miss the smallest pieces. They cause a lot of trouble.' I stood in silence watching her. She went on, 'If we all pick up just a little, things will change.' Until that moment, I felt overwhelmed by the bottles on the river, as if I could do nothing, as if all the trash will just float downstream, destroying all in its wake. But there she was, picking up straws along the shore. 'If we all pick up just a little, things will change.' Being depressed turned to paying attention, turned to hope, just like that. And I considered how her words are wisdom for many things right now. Follow her example today. Remember the woman by the stream. Pick up small things. Do what you can. Your part. Everything can change." I was out to dinner last week at Luna Rosa in Del Rey, and Ernie de Blasi, who is a member here at St. Joseph's with his beautiful family, they come to our unplugged service, is part owner of that restaurant, and I need to congratulate them because in their menu, there's a little box that says, "We do not hand out plastic straws. They are available upon request." It's serious, this drowning in plastic, and it's one little thing that we can do. Even by taking our own grocery bags to the grocery store, you may think it's a small thing. It's not. If we all do it together, we're doing it all together, and everything can change. If we are not aware of one another, if we are not aware of all of creation, we are a house divided against itself. We are. We are. It's the same logic. When we ignore one another or creation, we do so at our own peril. This doing the will of God is the new criteria that Jesus was defining for family. And it wasn't that he was discounting his mother or his brothers or his sisters in that moment when he said, "Who are my mother and my brother and my sister?" He was making a point. He was looking around at all of them to say that we are all in this together and family when we are doing the will of God. And doing the will of God is about relationships. It's always about relationships, either in love or fear. The give and the take, in whatever way you do that. There's a beautiful quote by Susan Howatch that I'd like to also share with you. She writes, "I'm becoming more me by thinking less of me. I'm getting involved with these people. My fundamental problems remain unchanged, but I'm changing. Does that mean the fundamental problems will change too? Surely it must. If I'm a number in a sum, any change in me will affect the other numbers in that we'll all add up to a different answer." Do you see her brilliance? It just seems so basic, but it's so true. If I change me, I'm going to be changing everyone, just the same as you. We are not to underestimate our presence in this world. As children of God, acknowledging one another in our creation, we bring in peace and forgiveness and healing and love, and it begins with that total surrender to God's will. 12-step programs know this. It's the very first step. Admitting that we need that. And so I give you also this writing from the 6th century by Lao Tzu, a 6th century Chinese philosopher. Perhaps you've seen this, and I'd like us all to read it together, please. "If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart." It begins with us. And I just have a word, by the way, about this unforgivable sin that we read about. It only comes up once every 3 years, so I just want to make a point about it, that when Jesus says blaspheming the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin, he said that because they were blaspheming him, not believing in him as the Messiah, part of our beautiful Trinity. So if we don't even believe in that and we're blaspheming that, we're blaspheming what does forgive us. So it can't be forgiven. Get it? That's why it's unforgivable, because we're not acknowledging the one who forgives. We are to be the love of God and one another on earth as it is in heaven, right now. Amen.